eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, it's Shift and Steer. We're in the studio. Well, at least part of us are. Matt DeAndrea, how you doing, moderator?
Good.
And I'm Brad Fanshawe, and somewhere out on the road, pulled over to the side in a trailer park, I understand, is Aaron Hagar. What's going on?
Quite literally an RV park. Yeah, I'm literally pulled over on the side of the road.
What are you driving?
You know, it's what we do to take care of our audience.
That's right. So you're in a trailer park in what part of the country?
I'm in the trailer park over here. I'm coming back from Monterey. I had a fun little day at the track and had some meetings there. So,
Where are you right now?
Oh, I don't know. But I'll tell you, California is starting to turn cold again. It was green for a long time. I'm looking at golden fields and oak trees. So
California.
So he's somewhere in Northern California in a trailer park, and pretty soon some meth heads are going to come out, on the door. They're going to be like, "Hey, man, can you loan me some bread, dude?
Yeah.
Hey,
is it the hills have eyes?
Yeah, exactly.
Children of the corn? There's no corn there.
No, it'll be children of the meth. So, hey, I want to start this show out with two things. One of them is, if you listened to last week's show, I don't know if you did, moderator, because you've been busy, but I went off on my rental car experience. And
boy, did he.
Advantage Rent-A-Car and Priceline. And first of all, I want to thank all of our listeners because it's like one of the biggest responses we've gotten, man. I mean, I guess had people saying that they had horrible experiences at the same counter that I had my problem with. But despite that, have I heard back from Advantage? I got the canned response right away, and they're going to talk to the manager and get back to me. Well, it's been over a week. Haven't heard from them.
Yeah.
And Priceline's gotten back to me to say, we're still looking into it with our partner. And I responded to them to tell them, well, if they treat you like they did me, we're probably not going to hear a thing. So it's...
That's a great response.
It's like ridiculous the way these guys treated me. If you didn't hear it, go back, listen to the last episode. Aaron and I talked about it, and we're still waiting. And weigh in on my Twitter at Brad Fanshawe, and you can also go to Shift and Steer. It's on both places, plus Instagram. But weigh in. Let them know that that you're listening and that they can't get away with that kind of stuff. But on to better stuff, right, Matt?
I love it when Brad's miserable.
I know. At least we're not in Australia. We're not in Australia, guys, because...
What's going on there?
Are you aware of how many collectible muscle cars and hot rods get exported to Australia?
Yes.
Tons of them.
Yeah, big time.
Well, the Australian government just kind of put the kibosh in a backhanded way. I read that they're cracking down on asbestos. I guess back in like 2003, they did a thing that banned any imports that contained any even trace amounts of asbestos. They'd never really regulated it. Now, all of a sudden, all these guys are bringing their cars in, and they're starting to regulate it. And they, the article that I read said that it's really kind of like, not like everything. It's like, oh, hey, we're going to grab this one. Oh, we're going to grab this one.
Yeah.
And the article said that it's not just, oh, do your brake pads have asbestos? They're saying you have to prove, did the car ever, since date of manufacture, contain asbestos? Well, we know that a lot of these muscle cars did, and they said there was one collectible car dealer in Australia that brought in a Mustang. So, Matt, I know this is going to, you know, really weigh heavy on your heart because it's a Mustang.
Yeah,
you know?
What year?
But,
I'm a Mustang guy too, you know.
He tried to go through the whole thing to get it through, and he spent $15,000 in, because you have to go to the certified lab, and then some of it's destructive testing. So he said $12,000 where the parts got broken in their destructive, because he said what it was is they started going into, okay, brake pads, brake drums, all that kind of stuff, but then they even went into like exhaust manifolds. Even though the asbestos gaskets weren't still there, some of it was impregnated into the metal, into the cast steel, cast iron.
Oh, God.
So they said, nope, throw them away, crush them. And, I mean, it's just like, so guys are really worried down there because it's, you know, it's getting really bad. It says fines for individuals who import cars that have asbestos, if they're caught trying to get around it, can be fined $180,000. So
that's crazy.
Well, it's getting bad. I mean, Aaron, do you remember in the last episode we spoke about these new laws going in France and England? Which have you heard about those, Matt?
No.
They just
I'm not up on my French news.
Well, you gotta be. England and France just announced that they will not allow any gas cars after 2030.
Do they have to be powered by
Diesel as well, I believe. For the
it's everything.
I
well, yeah, that, when I say petroleum-based cars. And they're saying they're drawing a line in the sand. They had the chairman of Aston Martin on, and he was saying, they haven't even given us, he goes, this begins in 2020. He goes, we already have cars that are developed past that. And he goes, they're not giving us like a time, and he goes, there's nothing in there for collectible cars or race cars or anything. They're saying nothing gas powered anymore. So let's hope that
in France and all of
England first, and France right behind them, like a year behind them.
Yeah. So,
No combustion engines. England.
Yeah. So what happens to Goodwood? What happens to, you know, all this stuff? It's it's pretty crazy.
The pollution rates there are just astronomical. I mean, being a little bit of a preservationist for history, if you've gone to any major city in both those countries, they are just saturated with soot, and you know the walls of every building are black and gray. And I mean, you know, they've been trying to keep a cap on that. I definitely understand the extreme, but let's hope that these are just extreme measures, and they're going to set a few examples, like in Australia. And that they lighten up their policies a little bit. But I mean, I can kind of, I'm not for this by any means. Don't get me wrong. I think it's horrible. But as an environmentalist, you know, would argue, you know, hopefully they're going to back off of some of these, that they're using them as an extreme measure to get people's attention, to get things reformed, you know, and then they can start making exceptions. They need to announce something, because if you start, I think, from the point of an exception, there's so many exceptions, it'll never get passed. There's so much resistance. But if they can land a law that just cuts it all off clean, then maybe they can start going in and taking some time to make some exceptions, because they're like, look, this is the law, but here's the exception. You know, hopefully they're going to do that. Otherwise, man, that's going to upset, you know, an entire industry.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, Aaron. I mean, not so much upset as create an impossibility. I mean, it just can't really
It'll put so many people out of work. It'll put
it just can't really be done.
But Let's use our governor as an example. Yeah. Look at Jerry Brown, some of the stuff he's doing. They don't care because they live in their little political bubbles. I mean, you know, like the 65-cent gas tax that they're putting on here in California. You look at low-income people, they can't afford another 65 cents gas tax. And when they asked him about it, he was like, well, they're just going to have to manage. Well, yeah. He lives in a bubble, you know?
I had a protein shake for breakfast. I have.
You have gas?
I'm just saying, no one's giving me 65 cents for my gas tax.
Exactly.
No one's paying me for my gas tax.
But, I mean, Aaron, to your point, is that have you ever seen, speaking of gas taxes, one that's been repealed? They keep adding on, well, it's just a temporary 1 cent tax. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's just keep it on there. So those kind of things don't get repealed. It could be really bad. And,
some of the car companies are stepping up. Obviously, you know, things like what Tesla's been doing, but Volvo, which
they're going all.
Yeah, so Volvo is committing to, I don't want to say non-combustion engines, but not solely combustion engines. So they won't have a car that has just a combustion engine. That's it. They will do electric and hybrid.
Are you sure about that? Because I heard there was a certain date they were cutting everything off.
Eventually, I think they will. But they're going to do hybrids, I believe, as well. And which would mean probably a much smaller.
Yeah.
Combustion engine, but they weren't going to have a vehicle that. But then again, I'm not really the Volvo market.
We're stepping into a new era. I mean, it's really crazy because if you think that started over here, states started doing it. Oh my God, man, that would be like crazy. But look at F1. What does F1 have? Electric series now.
Yeah, it's devastating. But let's not be fools too. Let's educate ourselves for the next show and actually have an argument, because I just did a little bit of research and it seems to be the same across the board. But a lot of people are in a panic and they're saying kind of what we're saying. So I'd like to know more about it.
Hey, Aaron, do you remember our motto? We're entertainers, not news people. I mean, if we just like give fake news, then it's like much more exciting and gets people excited. So. False news,
right,
fake news.
I get it. No. I get
hey, on a better note, if you follow me on social media, you might have seen that I posted yesterday about the big news that's going to be happening at SEMA. And at this year's SEMA Industry Awards Banquet, something we've been working on for quite some time, and finally, with the help of Tony Thacker and a lot of people at SEMA, like Peter McGrillivray and so many others, we were finally able to put it together, which is at the SEMA Industry Awards Banquet. Car guys are going to be rocking the house. We're going to have Michael Anthony, Billy F. Gibbons, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Vaughn, and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band backing them up, and they're going to be playing. And it's gonna be cool because we've been talking about the set they're going to play and everything. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some cool hits. There's going to be some great music. And these guys are so into it because they're just excited about, you know, we're all excited about, oh, man, they're coming to see me. They're going to play these legends of rock and roll. And they're like, you know, I'm coming to see them. I'm going to walk around and see all the cool cars. Yeah. And, you know, and they just want to, you know, it's funny because usually a lot of these guys, they fly in, do their gig, and fly out.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, so can we stay a couple days and walk around the show? And can we do this?
Yeah.
It's really going to be cool. And I think we're going to get them on the show and talk. Yes, sir, right there.
I have a question. I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
Is there a way for people who aren't going to SEMA to hear or see this performance after the fact?
I don't believe so. And the reason that is because of music rights.
Gotcha. See, that makes sense.
Because
you're so smart, Brad.
I read the contract.
Because you read the contract.
Yes, because
so
of music rights.
You don't think so. You mean definitely
you're right.
Not.
It's definitely not.
Because it's kind of a, you know, it's a
they're allowed
a
to
super
use
band.
Snippets. You know, snippets to promote, you know, or to show highlights, but no, not in its entirety. So unless one of us brought really a Zoom recorder in and accidentally left it on, you know, I mean, that could happen. Or plugged it into the board.
Get sued for that. But.
Get sued terribly. But it's all for our listeners. As Aaron said, we'll blame it on Aaron.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be exciting for the 300 people in attendance.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is that I'm sure they will probably sell out this year. I mean, they
do.
You know,
there's actually
sell
a
out.
Bunch of people. Yeah. The banquet's huge.
It's gigantic. It's 1,200 people usually, I think.
Yeah.
It's I want to tell
all of those dudes are car guys though. Like,
oh yeah,
car
big
guys.
Time.
Like we know Billy Gibbons, of course, friends here. And
Michael.
And you know, we've done shows with them and driven around with them and stuff. We know they're car guys.
Well, but Jeff Beck used to do his U.S. tour around the swap meets and car shows. He would schedule it around those.
Aaron, have you heard of any of these guys?
Is Aaron even there anymore?
Sorry, Matt.
I said, have you heard of any of these guys?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Okay, just checking.
Well, and of course, Jimmy Vaughn, I mean, I
didn't hear Matt, but I've heard of them.
I know Jimmy Vaughn actually had his, one of his Cadillacs brought out to Hot August Nights a couple times, and he flew in on his tour. And you know, so these guys are legit car guys. And
he's a legit car guy, but he sent his car in a trailer and then flew into the event.
Well, he was on tour. Give him a little bit. He was on tour.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell the backstory because it involves our missing co-host Pete Shapouris. This would have happened before in 2016. Because Pete came to me and he said, Brad, we got to try and put this together. Let's get our buds and make this happen for SEMA. And everybody was talking. All the paper was flying around. But the dates just didn't work for Billy and Michael. Because Michael was out on tour with Sammy Hagar, with Aaron's dad. And Billy was out with ZZ Top. And it just wasn't going to work. This year, by happenstance, worked by just a couple of days, and Billy wanted to make it happen. Billy literally ends his tour like 2 or 3 days before, and he's jumping on a plane to get there because, like he said, I wanted to do it for Pete. And when Michael heard it was for Pete, Michael's ends like about 2 weeks before, and instead of going on vacation, he's going to shoot down and do it. And I think it also helped that SEMA was there and they got to see that. That put big grins on their face. But they did want to do it for Pete. And so in honor of Pete, this is going to happen. And it's going to be a hell of a concert. So look forward to it. There's more information on my Facebook and Instagram pages. And we will also post it on the Shift and Steer website as well as the Facebook and Instagram for Shift and Steer. So check it out. Michael Anthony, Billy F. Gibbons, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Vaughn, and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band playing the SEMA Industry Awards Banquet. And, guys, I've already started getting emails about, hey, dude, can you get me a ticket? Go to SEMA.com, buy yourself a ticket to the Industry Awards Banquet, because I don't have any. Aaron does. Aaron's got a whole bunch of passes.
Yeah, right.
You should email or call Aaron. What's Aaron's phone number?
Yeah, you can email.
Every day I'm getting hit up for freaking birthday bash tickets. Like, guys, I don't have anything to do with any of this stuff.
Don't you love it?
I don't have access to this stuff.
Every time Michael plays somewhere. Every time Michael plays somewhere, it's like, hey, I see Michael's coming to St. Louis. Can he, you know, give me? I'm like, dude, I didn't even know he's coming to St. Louis. I don't even follow his schedule, you know? It's like, call Aaron. I just tell him to call Aaron.
Call Aaron.
Yeah, call Aaron.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Aaron said he knows all those guys.
So anyways, that's all I've been doing. You guys have been doing fun shit. So,
and you're not doing fun shit? Come on.
Hey, man.
You're selling wheels.
That's right, you're not.
I'm not. I'm not out driving Porsches and going to racetracks like you guys.
Yeah. What happened, Aaron? Oh. Sounded like you had a little track day.
Yeah. You had a track day, Aaron. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Quite literally, Matt. We've been driving Porsches. Actually, I was a passenger. I didn't drive at all. I didn't drive either. If I can't afford to fix it, I can't afford to play with it. So
that's true.
I'm not going to mess with it. No, I was a pastor at Laguna Seca, and my friend has been trying to get me out on the track, and it finally worked out to do so. So I took a little road trip and jumped in the car with them and banging gears around corners. It was good. Weather was like 75 degrees, a little overcast. Track temperature was consistent. It was just wonderful. It was really, really fun. I needed that.
Was it a Porsche track day or just an enthusiast day or what?
It was Enthusiast Track Day. Let me grab the name of these guys. It's the District of Speed group.
Okay.
And they hold a pretty high profile ordeal there. It was mostly Porsches, GT series, GTRS, GT3RS, GTRs.
And he had a GT3RS.
Yeah, he's got a GT3RS 2015, and boy, and his whole group does. He has several guys in his group that of work, and they all own them. So it's something that they do as a work day. It's really fun. But there's a couple Mustangs out there, a couple Camaros, a couple Vets, a couple S2000s, a couple BMWs. But other than that, it was overwhelmed by Porsches.
Wait, were there any Minis?
No. I wish I had my Mini so I could be like you know, with a little clown nose on top and sit. But it was only 21 people in the group yesterday, so it was like 25 minute sessions. It's like you just start a conversation, you're just describing your experience, and it's like, oh wait, I'm going back out. So I mean, it was like, I think a little by lunch, everybody was exhausted. It's a good problem to have on a track day. You know?
What track were you at?
You're at Laguna Seca, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were at Laguna Seca. We were at Sonoma. By the way, there was two vintage Minis there.
There were
two.
Oh,
of them.
Cool.
They were adorable.
Cool. I'm sorry I missed that.
They were cute.
I was literally en route later that day, and I wish you guys would have stuck around a little longer. I would have been able to see it. So,
and by the way, we did post some of the footage, in-car footage of Aaron riding along in that GT3 RS on our Instagram page at Shift Steer Media. So go check it out.
Super fun. Big eyes. It was a big eye day, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah. We had a track day as well, which those of you that listen to CarCast, and judge you by the numbers, it's none of you.
Hey, before you get into that,
yeah,
because I want to really hear all about that. Can I just ask Aaron? Can you look at your text message right now? Because I want to post something on Instagram that I wanted you to see. And we wanted to hear your reaction to it.
Yeah. Hold on, I have to take the phone off.
I'm going to show it to Matt while we're talking about it. It was just one of the coolest little cars that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Now that's a Mini before. That he should be driving.
Yeah. Oh wait, where did I see
I was
that?
Is
somebody else
it.
Said that?
Isn't that thing cool? So what we're looking at, everybody, is a Mini Cooper body that's been totally rat-rotted. It's channeled over a frame. It's got a small block and wide whites on steelies. And this thing is badass, man. I mean, that's what Aaron should be driving around a Mini in, huh?
That is kind of cool.
I've got another body. I've got a
Of course you do.
I was thinking about it.
Well, we're going to post this on Instagram.
I would have been upset if you didn't have an extra Mini laying around hanging from a ceiling somewhere or out back.
Hey,
he's got them stacked like, you know.
Yeah, it's on the front seat of the Pinsgauer.
Exactly.
I'm officially a Miniac at this point. I'm officially a
Miniac.
Bro.
Is that what your people are called?
So yes, we'll post that because it's really cool looking. And then everybody get on there and shame Aaron into doing one because it'd be really cool.
Speaking of Aaron's wacky cars.
You can shame me by sending checks to pay for the build. I am more than happy to be shamed.
That's probably not going to happen.
That's called financing. That's not called shaming.
You know, Aaron, a while back you were talking about that Russian thing with the big, like, floppy inflatable tires.
That was cool. Yeah.
The Sherp.
After we talked about that, I saw it everywhere. Like, it was, and I was like, that thing is fucking cool.
It's really cool.
I don't know where I would go or what I would do with it, but it just looks awesome. It's the worst thing you could have in LA ever, but I feel like anywhere else would be awesome.
I was working on this TV show, and we needed unique vehicles, and I was like, what about one of these? I wanted him to buy one so bad.
Couldn't so get him to do just it, buy one of these.
So that I could drive it, you know?
Yeah.
I know, right? I would love to get maybe the first $50,000 or $60,000 that I could ever have that's free and clear, I just might have to invest it.
Yeah, that those things are cool, Matt.
Could you imagine if Aaron had $50,000 or $60,000 free and clear?
He'd buy 5 more minis. I know him. He would.
So basically never.
Never.
Yeah. So let's take the listeners back to Monterey last year.
Yes, I was there.
So was I. We were with Adam.
Oh, yeah. We spent a lot of money.
We were at Gooding at the big auction, and Adam had told you that there was a car that he just had to have, and you drug me along and tell the story, man.
Yeah. You know, the recap of buying Paul Newman's Porsche 935, the 1979 935 that he raced with Rolf and Little Dickie Baba, and won first in their class, Le Mans, second overall, and then because of the amount of paparazzi and how crazy it was, Newman never went back to Le Mans to race. Anyway, Brad was with me at the auction. Adam was on the other side of the room. We were spending Adam's money.
It was great. I love spending somebody else's money.
And we bought the car for $4.84 million. And then, you know, it took a little while. The car eventually came down to us. We had it in the showroom for a while. And, you know, Adam wanted to drive it. So the plan was to take it to Monterey this year, which is coming up in 2 weeks. Almost like 2 weeks to the day, right? So it's coming up in 2 weeks. So we sent the car to Bruce Kenepa. And those of you that aren't familiar with Bruce owns a big dealer and restoration shop in Northern California. It is the premier place. He's got about 75 employees there, which is unheard of, by the way, for a restoration place.
But he's almost like a race car fabrication / restoration
and dealer.
Yeah. And specializes in high end everything from Formula One cars to
the best
Porsches,
of the best.
Everything.
You know,
yeah.
Like if there's 10 of those cars, he probably doesn't work on it. But if there's one or three, he's probably worked on it. He's got Bruce Meyer. He restored the Whittington Brothers Porsche 935, which won Le Mans overall. He's got some of the coolest cars in the world. You know, he's very expensive and blah, 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 right? That's what you get. But he drives 935. He has several clients driving a 935. So it comes down to, you know, you make this decision. You're like, you want to race prep your 935. You can either try to find somebody that's probably a little bit cheaper, but now has to do more of the research on it, or you just pay the premium for Bruce Kenepa. He's done it 100 times, and he knows.
And if he doesn't, he knows the people.
That's the thing.
And Aaron, are you sitting in front of an air conditioning vent by chance?
Yeah.
Can you maybe turn it just a little bit away? Because we're getting just all the air flutter.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It happens, man, when you're pulled over at the trailer park.
It's hot. Leave the car on, but just aim the vent on another part of the body.
Yes, and you're not driving a Ford Explorer, are you?
No.
Okay, good, because we don't want you to succumb to the fumes.
No, I'm driving a Mini.
Oh, well, then do whatever you got to do to survive.
And soon it'll be towing a Mini.
Mini
anyway,
towing a Mini.
Back to the story.
Anyway,
back to the story.
So,
would that be a Mini me?
A Mini you.
So, Bruce Kenepa.
So he.
Just buy it from Bruce.
He race prepped the car, and we met him up in Sonoma. We're kind of killing two birds with one stone here. We had.
Gave him two suitcases full of cash.
We flew up to, it was myself and Adam and our CarCast producer, Chris. We flew up to Sonoma. And then also while we were there, we were going to film an episode of Jay Leno's Garage. So our guys went up there and I, like, not me, I wasn't in it. This is part of a bit that they were doing.
He was behind the scenes. He was
the Porsche was fantastic. You know, Adam hasn't been on Sonoma in years, and he's never driven the 935.
And you did get some in-car footage that you posted on Motorator.
Yes, and also on our YouTube page and on CarCast. Chris took a full lap, and he's got three different angles from in-car footage. You can hear the car, you can see the car, you can watch Adam do a lap. So what Adam did was his Kenepa prepped the car and he put two seats in it. So one of Kenepa's guys is a guy named Ken.
he works there, but he's also a professional driver. And Adam got suited up. Ken drove the car. Adam rode shotgun. They talked about the car. They did a dozen laps or something.
Okay, so he kind of gave him like, hey, through here, you might want to do this. And then
so then they went back in. They took a break. They had a little conversation. Then they switched. So Adam drove, and Ken was riding shotgun. And just signaling a little bit, a little more throttle here, a little less there, you know, just getting used to the car.
Coaching him.
And that was Adam's first time behind the wheel on the 935 and hasn't been at in Sonoma in years. So he had to learn both the track and the car.
And Sonoma's a challenging track.
It's bumpy. Yeah. It's curvy.
It's got the uphill segments.
It's got the blind curve. Yeah. Like, it's not an easy track. Aaron, I know you've done it a million times on bikes and things like that. So you're much more familiar with it. So that went well. And then Adam's like, all right, I'm going to drive it now. And he goes, but instead of focusing too much on the line, I just want to focus on the car. So Canepa had his 935 there, which always wins at Monterey. It's super fast. He's got it all dialed in for him.
Well, and he's a super fast driver.
And he's a super fast driver. So what was great was two cars, two 935s, and they can do a lead follow and a high speed lead follow.
So it's just like you just follow me and
so
follow my
Bruce
lines.
Bruce went out in his white car. Adam went out in the red Newman car. And Adam's like, what I'll do is I'll just get up and on you. And if I'm getting close, I'm going to push you around the track. You go faster. So Adam controls Bruce's speed by driving up his ass with the other car. And, you know, 10 laps into it, they were hauling ass.
10 laps into it, Bruce couldn't do it anymore. Adam overtook him, and Bruce couldn't even keep up, right?
It was, I wish that was the case, but there's no way Bruce is going to let that happen.
No, what. Bruce is very competitive. Yeah.
There's no way. Bruce would blow the motor first, by the way, before he's like, oh, sorry, you passed me. No, no, mechanical failure. So it went great, and the YouTube video that we have is Adam driving solo following Bruce. So in some of the footage out the front windshield, you'll see Bruce's white 935.
Cool.
So that went great. We're very excited about that. We hope to take
that
to Monterey. And Adam's going to get some real bumper-to-bumper racing in this 935. And
Bruce will be like, then he'll have to bring it back to the shop and get it fixed.
I tell you, this is a very special car, right?
It really is.
This is a very special car.
And it's in the Hawaiian Tropic livery?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the car that Bobby Rahal later raced and went to Watson's Glen and Daytona. It's got more racing history than probably any 935. But it started with the Le Mans car, you know, with the Le Mans win.
Well, dude, when we bought it, they were reading off all of its wins, and
it's two pages long.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going.
It's got a lot of crazy race history.
And it better be damn good for $5 million.
When Bobby Rahal raced it, it was in the Apple computer livery,
right,
which they never did again. Like, Apple never got into it again.
Mm-hmm.
So what we might do is we may build another 935 in the Apple computer livery. Now, technically, it'll be a clone car, but because we own the real car, we kind of feel like maybe we have a little bit of entitlement to be able to make that car. Like, we're not going to claim it's the Bobby Rahal car, but we're going to say we have the real car. Here's, you know, the tribute car, the clone car. Do it in that one. Obviously, it's not $5 million. It's way less because it has no real race history. But we would like to put a 935 on the track in that Apple livery. So sometime down the road, we'll make that other car.
Well, then I could build one, and I could say, well, because you own it, and I'm your friend, and, you know, then I could have one, too.
This is actually a really
good
idea.
If you build it, Brad,
we'll pay you 50 cents on the dollar when you're done.
That's a good deal.
But not only that, we'll call Brad's the Ravel edition. Or do you prefer Tamiya?
It'll be. Tamiya. We'll call it the scale edition.
Yeah, right.
It's the scale edition.
Anyway, so
for those of you that don't know your model companies, Revel and Tamiya.
Monterey should be good. It should be fun. We're really looking forward to running that car out there. We had a successful Sonoma day out there, and then sometime in November, you can catch an episode of Jay Leno's Garage. I'm not really going to give away the whole
plot. No, just tell us all what happened.
And, But there was some racing involved, and then there was some not racing involved.
Can we talk about how Jay balled up the 935?
Yeah. I'm not even saying the 935 was involved. I'm just saying that there was some racing and stuff involved.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that, was
I? So this is what I love about these guys is they're like, we're going to get some track footage, you know, put up. They got a camera car. By the way, the camera car is badass. It's a Porsche, like, Panamera Turbo.
With the big arm hanging off it, yeah.
And it's got, like, a bubble in the back, and the guy sits in the hatch.
It's like a bomber, you know, the machine gunner.
It's got giant mud flaps in the back so it doesn't kick up any rocks. Like, if you're – what in the camera car is the camera car goes around the track, and you follow it in your race car. That's how you get those speeds. It's not the actual – high speed thing. It's they cut to it for B-roll, right? So it's got the giant mud flaps so it doesn't kick up rocks, and the whole thing is wrapped in flat black, even the lights. It's not a street legal car. That way you don't get any glare.
Right.
You know? But you're like, it's a Panamera Turbo and it's got full leather interior. It's just got cables and wires going all through it. Like, it must weigh 6,000 pounds.
Do you think those mud flaps were added, like, at one point, like, you know, after they were doing it once and a big rock went up and some expensive Ferrari or something?
It's not even a mud flap. It's a giant, like, quarter-inch thick piece of rubber that goes the length of the car, and there's just two cutouts for the exhaust. That's it. That's all it goes through there. And so
if you ran over a body, it would, like, trap the body and not let it go into the Ferrari.
Yeah. So, like, we've done videos and stuff all the time. We're like, we got our GoPros and we got, like, maybe a drone, right? These guys have the Panamera camera car and a full-on helicopter. The helicopter landed at the track, and the pilot's like, I'm ready when you are, just eating a hoagie. You know, just like, I'm ready when you are. Like, let's get that out there. Yeah. And it was, I mean.
That's awesome.
It was a big thing. And then, you know, we got there like 11. We got there before Jay. We were testing the Porsche and stuff. And then.
And who's this Jay Leno guy that you were with?
This guy, big chin.
Is he a car collector or something?
He is.
Okay.
He is a car collector. Doesn't have race cars, though. And on the way home, we're like, Jay, can we have a ride? He's like, yeah. Come on. Yeah, get a ride. So we hop in the minivan. And there's like six of us. And so I had asked, this is great. I asked maybe seven times. I was like, they're like, we got a seat for you. We got
can
a
I go?
Seat
can
for
I
Adam.
Go? Can I go, guys? Yeah. Please.
Yeah, we got a seat for you. We got a seat for Adam. I was like, great. And I was like, what about my producer, Chris? Uh-huh. And they're like, let me check. And they come back, no. I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, I'll check again. And they're like, Jay says, no, we're out of space, right? We're like, okay. So we get in the minivan. By the way, super convenient. Get in the little minivan where there are six of us. We're riding about 25 minutes to this little Sonoma airport. Adam and Jay are just on at this point, and these guys are hilarious. When they're together, they're just hilarious. And but also shit I can't tell you about because it's it's like, you know, it's just always like, who's a real car guy celebrity, who's not, who's cool, who's not, who's a douche and who isn't. And so it was a little bit of that, and it was very funny. And
did my name come up?
Luckily, no.
Oh, darn it.
And Jay's got a bit of a foul mouth when he's not on the air, which I've always known about Jay, but really, like, at one point he's in the front seat just being quiet. He just turns and he goes, fuck that guy. And then we're like, whoa. So Adam's just jabbing. Yeah. Adam's just like, give me more. You know, and then it just became like a thing at that point. So we roll up. Guy rolls down the window in his minivan, swipes a key card, goes right onto the tarmac, parks the minivan next to the plane. We take ten steps to get on the plane, and within 9 minutes, you're in the air. Right? So there's Leno's producers are sitting in the front. His right-hand man, his handler guy, is there. Adam's in a chair. I'm in a chair. Jay's in a chair. And in the chair in front of Jay has a basket of snacks and Jay's feet. Jay's feet propped up there. So right when we came back.
That was Chris's place.
Yeah, right when we came back. And Chris, by the way, is the master of like, seeking out food. Like, when we go to the Quail, like, he has, like, a map printed out of the food and everything. So you got to go back and listen to CarCast from last week. And we talk about, Adam goes, Jay, he goes, Chris, he goes, let me see the picture. And he goes, this is, that's your seat, Chris. And he goes, well, I guess if I had to give up my seat for snacks, I'm okay with that. but there was a seat. And it had snacks, and I was like, and Jay's feet, and Chris was like, I would have given the old man a foot massage if it meant riding on the plane with him. But Jay was great. He was funny. His whole crew is great. There'll be an episode of Jay Leno's Garage that airs in November. They're airing episodes, then I think they take a break, and then they start airing them again. I don't think it's the season finale, but it's like second or third to the last or whatever it is. So somewhere in November that'll come out.
And this is where we should announce that Jay is going to be coming on as a co-host permanently with Shift and Steer. I didn't want to say anything until he doesn't know yet.
We'll never get a word in.
He doesn't know yet, but when we talk him into it, we'll you'll hear him then.
Yeah. That's a true story, by the way.
Well, it is. He gave me a price, and, you know, it's just we just don't have the budget for it yet.
Yeah, so we didn't get into all of this on CarCast. You're getting more of it here because, you know, because we can. But it was fun. It should be a fun episode. Jay's doing a good job with that show. At least it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Jay is that go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Well, when they filmed with Dad, it was just a top-notch crew, and everybody was so cool, and it was so much fun, and it was just a great experience, you know?
Well, I don't know if you guys listen to any local radio, but there's a local radio here, KFI.
Is it radio?
640. There is still radio. Terrestrial radio does exist. we kind of frown on it here at Shift and Steer. But Jay Leno guest-hosted a show while the guy was on vacation.
Oh.
And it was actually awesome. I was like, oh, this is the best ever because he just talked about cars the whole night. Talked about cars, talked about his cars. And at the end, one of the guys said to him, they go, Jay, you know, you were so funny. He was telling all these funny stories and stuff. Yeah. And they go, you should do a podcast. He goes, pff, pff. I don't want to do a podcast. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't.
Like, no, Jay, he said, he goes, I'm booked.
True. He's so busy.
Jay does like 200 shows a year.
That's what he said.
You
know,
he's in the air 2-3 days a week all the time. He's always doing live shows and then, and the TV show.
Yes.
You know, he's really busy all the time.
Yeah. He's
how else are you going to buy all that denim?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
First of all, you...
He's got maintenance. He's got overhead.
There's no way he buys that denim. That denim's got to be free, right?
Like, I don't know, you know? I mean...
There's got to be piles and piles of denim.
He's probably one of those guys who walks into the denim store and just goes, yeah, give me that rack right there, okay? Just all my size. I'm good.
I think denim just shows up at his door.
You're probably right. It probably grows in his backyard.
Everybody asks me, they're like, why does he wear the denim? Why does he wear the denim?
He picks it. He picks it like lettuce.
He grows it out.
He grows it.
The denim tree.
He has a denim farm.
He said, and if you ask Jay.
Over here, I have light denim over here, and I have medium denim. And
you think
denim,
they grow it by the size, Aaron? It's like, oh, those are mediums. Those are mediums growing over there, and large is over there. And,
Well, you know, when I was there, I took a small for the wife and a large for me.
I had to have a guy come in from Indiana to show me how to grow the extra large ones. He won the at the state fair one year for the largest denim.
For the largest denim? Got the ribbon for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jay wears the denim all the time, probably because it's free and it's super convenient. But he says he films so many different things, different segments. And a lot of times they come back and they say, can we do this again? Can you go up here? Can you do here? Can you reshoot this? Blah, blah, blah. He's always matches.
Yeah.
He's always consistent.
He is Mr. Continuity.
That's it. He is.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to go back and
Mr.
go, oh,
Continuity.
You were wearing the red shirt and you need to do this. Never happens.
So him and Aaron are on the same track because Aaron always has the same shirt on, too.
He does.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know it's Aaron's shirt because it says Aaron on it.
Because it says Aaron on it.
Well, I'll tell you, but that shirt used to be black, you know. And now it's a blue-gray.
Really? I thought it was supposed to be gray on purpose.
Yeah.
No, it's turning into denim next. It's going to be blue.
It is going to be blue.
Be denim.
So you had a great time at the track.
We did. We had a great time at the track. And as you know, we also did a little Detroit trip as well.
Yes.
I know we're going to be running out of time, but A little recap on that. You know, Adam's guys released the film, The 24-Hour War. It's Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans in the 60s. And the documentary division over at Corolla.
So it's a documentary. It's not fictional.
Right. The documentary division is ramping up where we're going to try to start getting into releasing one movie a year.
Okay.
The Newman film is out. The 24-Hour War is out. Willie T. Ribbs documentary, first black IndyCar champion. That should be out later this year. Next year, we will have the official Shelby doc coming out.
Took your breath away, didn't it?
Yeah. Also, yeah. The cookie I ate, the iced tea I'm drinking. So we were invited by our friend Bruce Meyer from the Peterson Museum. Mm-hmm. He has his Peterson Checker Flag 200 Club.
Right.
It's just like super rich white guys that collect
cars. Rich guy car club.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've gone to several of the events and stuff like in L.A., but that club is all over the country. So mm-hmm. Bruce came up with this idea of screening the film for his club at the Henry Ford Museum. They have an IMAX theater. They have an IMAX theater there. I've never even been to Michigan. I've never been to Detroit.
I know. We were bashing on you on the last show that you were there for the first time.
For the first time.
And then Aaron admitted, I've never been there either. And I was like, what? Yeah.
I'm telling you, I just don't know why. I mean, the weather's so nice here. Nate, the producer and director of the film, he and I flew in from L.A. Adam was testifying in front of Congress about like free speech stuff in Washington, D.C. Very awkward. He was in a suit. And then he flew in directly like Thursday night, which is the screening. The reception for the screening was happening while Adam was still in the air. And so he landed, went right to the venue. And after the film, though, there was a great panel discussion. Adam was supposed to moderate it, and it was like Henry Ford III and Chip Ganassi and Raj Nair, who is like president of Ford North America, and Ryan Briscoe, a driver, and you know, a couple guys. And Nate was up there, and then Adam got up there, and he's like, "Thanks, sir." But my brain is mush. So he's like, here's Matt. He's my co-host in CarCast. And I was like unprepared. I was like, I didn't have like a smart code or anything.
Weren't you a Boy Scout? Weren't you ever? You always have to be prepared, Matt.
But it ended up being a good panel. It turned into a CarCast episode. Go back and listen to that. But we were able to tag along with Bruce Meyer's group. He had two buses full of rich whiteys on there. And we toured a couple private collections, which were phenomenal. A guy had these Duesenbergs and one guy had a collection of wooden boats. He had like a half, you know, maybe seven or eight of those. Like just amazing stuff, like really cool cars. We have a handful of pictures of it, but I'll tell you guys, I finally, after being invited for years, we've all been invited for years and years and years.
Yeah, to Lingenfelter's?
We finally went over to Ken Lingenfelter's collection of cars, and he's such a nice guy. He's got an amazing collection of cars, and the one that really seemed to stand out among our friends here and listeners when I posted photos was he has a Vector.
A vintage Mini Cooper.
He did not. He did not. And if he did, it'd have an LS.
He
swap.
Had a Vector Cooper.
He has a Vector, but not the W8, which is the square one with the Donovan V8 engine. He had the later, they only made a handful, W12 with a Murcielago engine in it. It had a Lamborghini engine in it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's much swoopier, and it's purple. And when he bought it, nobody wanted it. And I'm telling you, he bought it for a song at a Barrett Jackson auction years ago. And the VA cars are going up in
value. And you posted that where? On your Twitter or your Instagram?
It's probably on my Instagram, and it's definitely on my Facebook page because I posted pictures from the Lingenfelter collection. So at Motorator on Instagram and Facebook, and you'll see it there. It's a purple one, and it's very cool. And if you picture the Vector, as you mostly know it, it's very slabby and wedge shaped.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is much more angular. It's got more of a scoop thing going on in the door and whatnot. So it is very cool. And he's got a great collection. and he's got old Callaway Corvettes and
he's a big Callaway Corvette guy.
And Lingenfelter Corvettes and an amazing collection of Ferraris. His law Ferrari, his winter car is a Ferrari FF because it's all wheel drive.
Oh, of course.
He's got a 288 GTO, which we love. Mm-hmm. That's like $2 million now. He's got a Ferrari F12 TDF.
What is
which
that?
Is,
oh, those are great. I love those.
It's kind of like the newest front-engine GT-style Ferrari.
Okay.
And then the next version of that, which has been announced.
It's not on your Instagram,
by the way. Is called the Superfast. And he's on the list for that. And when you're Ken Lingenfelter and you have so many Ferraris.
He's always on the
you're
list.
You're on the
yeah.
list. Yeah, you're on the list. Yeah. So you think it's not on my Instagram, but there's a very good chance that I posted this one that says Lingenfelter Collection, and then there's multiple images.
Oh, it's one of those deals, which always mess me up.
And
Brad,
maybe it's not in
Matt
there.
Has,
you what?
Matt has a TDF. It's a satin pearl white. It's gorgeous. And then Dad just went for a ride with Adam Levine and his brand new TDF that he just
he
got.
Has the TDF.
So we've actually got.
Did yep, any of those so guys order the Super Fast? The new.
You know that I don't know. I don't think Matt's is, but maybe Adam's is. I don't know. Have they been delivered yet, or are they on order still?
They're on order, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I think Adam just got his and took Dad for a ride. Dad said it's absolutely stellar. Just a beautiful, yeah. beautiful car.
So
I really like those. If I could have my dream and wish list, it would be the TDF of all the new Ferraris, even over the lost Ferrari, because I couldn't drive that. But I would drive the TDF.
That car.
It's badass, Brad. Look it up because it is gorgeous.
No, I'm
showing Brad a picture of the Vector.
The Vector, it just doesn't even ring a bell. I mean, I remember the Vectors and, you know, the whole yeah, the whole
is,
thing. And you
it
know,
is purple.
We used to build wheels for the first ones. All the first ones, Boyd and I built the wheels for those.
Oh. This has aftermarket wheels on it. I'm almost mm-hmm. positive. Huh. I'm almost positive the wheels.
It's probably because if the wheels that came on it were a set of our Boyds, they leaked because they were three-piece. And, you know, back in the time when we were doing three-piece, the glues weren't that great. And over the years, the glue would dry up where the seam was.
Yeah.
And they would start to leak, so.
Wasn't the Vector used in some Hollywood movie back then, too?
Wasn't yeah, it was kind of ahead of its time and used, you know, in a lot of stuff because it was so
I'll tell you what
futuristic
it is.
Looking.
There was a movie in 1993 with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery called The Rising Sun.
Just how he pulls it off the top of his head.
And in the beginning
that's
of
it.
That movie, maybe 10, 15 minutes into it, one of the bad guys, the Asian guy, is yelling at his girlfriend and gets into a Vector with Boyd wheels on him.
There you go.
That's
see?
Right. That's it. Right.
I'm guessing.
I'm
guessing.
I loved that movie back in the day. That's where I remember it, too.
Like, I'm just guessing. It could be 1993 Rising Sun, Wesley Snipes, Sean Connery. But
You're just guessing. I mean, you know, you're a wealth of knowledge. But, hey, we got to kind of wrap this episode up. And what I think we've learned from this is how small we are in the world, because none of us have spoke before Congress about freedom of speech.
No.
None of us were racing our 935 at the track at a private track day.
Yeah.
And
flying on a private jet. And if you're in the know, it's just a PJ.
A PJ.
I'm on my PJ.
Yes, okay. we don't even know that. So
I didn't even know that. They're like,
we're just losers.
They're like, we're catching the PJ. I'm like, I don't know what that means. They're like, private jet, you hobo.
And jeez, maybe we shouldn't even let him on.
Maybe we'll touch on this next week, but go to my Facebook page as well. There's another photo gallery of Jack Roush collection.
How about what's going to sell at Monterey?
Oh, yeah, there's a Batmobile.
Matt's selling the Batmobile.
We're
at
selling the Batmobile.
Russo and Steel.
1972 BMW 3.0 CSL conversion car. It was just bought by Diamond Tuning in Germany, and it was raced. And then Cuffy Crab vintage raced it He bought it in 99. He vintage raced it. Cuffy Crab's dad is like an Olympic swimmer turned actor. And Cuffy was on an old TV show on NBC in the 50s with his dad. Like a Foreign Legion.
So it's a BMW Batwing car.
Yes.
And it's
those are cool.
And
man,
it's probably one of the least expensive cars in Adam's collection. So
yes,
snag it up.
That's it. It's a cool car. We'll start talking about it and posting it. It's going to be up at Russo. And there's 21 real factory Batmobile race cars, well over $1 million each. So you, but
wow,
there are, to get into a car like that that you want to race, there are a handful of conversion cars, very well done. A lot of them period correct with racing history like this car. Get it in there for a few hundred grand.
And if
yeah,
you don't have...
That's a cool car. It was up on the lift when we were there, right, Matt?
Yeah,
that's
yes.
The one that was up on the lift on the right. Yeah, that I loved that car. Those are really... There's one at the Peterson Museum, too, isn't there?
There's a white one there. This one's black. It's one of the coolest looking cars in the collection. This has the Group 2
really
bodywork on it. The Group 2 bodywork is the big bodywork, the big wing, the big air dam.
Yeah, it's such a great example of racing in that era. It's very, very.
I mean, it does need to be bought by somebody and made into a full drift car, I think.
Oh, is that not? That would be awesome if somebody drifted a Group 2 CSL.
So,
dance that thing, man. Slam the wheels in, camber it, you know.
It's pretty slammed already.
Yeah, it's pretty low. Hey, everybody, we got to wrap this edition of Shift and Steer up, but I'm sure Matt, the moderator, is going to tell us where you can find us, all that social media we've been talking about, and where you can find us.
Yeah, so check out shiftandsteer.com. Of course, that's our website, and subscribe on iTunes like many of you have been doing. We appreciate that. If you throw us a nice review, we get a little bit better ranking on iTunes and more people hear about us, so we love a five-star rating. All of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, is all at Shift Steer Media. And as Brad, he threw out his links as well, his accounts. Check him out. See what he's up to. And Aaron and myself.
You'll
see the pictures of the Roush collection. Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know
cool.
this, but Roush has a lot of Mustangs.
Indeed.
And I...
Are
you somewhat of a fan of Mustangs?
You're a Mustang guy?
Yeah.
No way. Next thing I know I'll hear is that Aaron's a Mini fan. A Miniac.
A Miniac.
Hey, Aaron, where are you at on social media?
You can find me all over at Aaron Hagar and theratrunnersgarage.com.
Okay, and Motorator is Motorator.
Yep.
And of course, you can always find all of us at shiftandsteer.com. Hey, everybody, I'm Brad Fanshaw. Right next to me is...
Matt DeAndrea.
And on the phone in a trailer park somewhere along the road in Northern California is...
Aaron Hagar the Maniac.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm turning on the AC, man.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.